Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, chapter 26. This is a good one. A happy one. They're all good, but sometimes they're not so happy. We mentioned that he has visions of the future, prophecies of the future, and many of them refer to messianic times, that's why the Christians really like this, because they like talking about the Messiah. That's one of their, but that's why they like Isaiah, because he talks about the Messiah.
It's not their Messiah.
No, when you actually read the book, you see it has nothing to do with many of the visions refer to the messianic time. In fact, last week we had the one about the time when there'll be no more tears, like, so to speak, where, you know, that we had the wish that you give to mourners, that verse 8 in chapter 25, Bila Hamos Benetzach, where we should, right now we live at a time of difficulties and testing where there's bad things happen, and in messianic times death will be swallowed up. And Hashem will remove the tears on everybody's face, right? That was the blessing that we all hope for. Okay. Now, what else will happen on that day? So we have to keep in mind that there was this great war. These nations came up to, will come up against the Jewish people. There'll be a United Nations group, and that group is called Gog and Magog. That's the name of the different nations that led against the Jewish people. We don't know exactly who they are. We had it last week also mentioned that we had like bad neighbors in Israel, and there it's Israel in the Middle East. We've always had neighbors that weren't particularly helpful. And then there are nations like Amalek that come from afar and attack us. There's this mention of this final war that will take place before the Mashiach comes. There's also mention of that they'll conquer part of Yerushalayim, that Yerushalayim will be a divided city. Then afterwards there'll be an ingathering of the exiles. There's a question whether it be afterwards or before. Then there's also a question about how miraculous the times will be. Meaning, will it be supernatural, or will it just be in a regular fashion? Just regular, normal things that happen. Will we see like the sea splitting and things coming down from heaven, or will it just be a very good leader? There's a debate. That the Rambam was a pragmatist. He felt that everything will happen in a natural way. It won't be like supernatural. The Mashiach will be a great leader, and a lot of these prophecies do sound supernatural. The idea that the lion will lie down with the lamb, and that people won't make war anymore. I mean, that'd be a huge miracle, right? And they'll beat their weapons into plowshares. So,
but isn't that allegorical? I mean, it doesn't naturally refer to an animal.
Yes,
I mean,
that's correct, right.
Yeah, but it's all allegory.
It means, though, that the ideals of society will change, that they'll reach a point where people won't the Mashiach, the leadership, and the Mashiach will send a message to the world that, that we've had enough war and enough aggression and enough fighting, and will enable people to get along together. And then they'll do away with poverty, and they'll do away with... mankind could do it if we were all just working to better mankind instead of to fight. They've often done these studies, if all the money that went into weapons and armies and defense and protection and fighting crime, if all that money could be used to just take care of one another, it'd be like a different, to provide for the sick and the poor, and it would be a different kind of society. Chapter 26. Bayomahu Yashir Hashir Hazeh. One of the very important things, and we had this before, there was a king named Chizkiyahu, who was a righteous king and had a great salvation. The army of Sennacherib was defeated right outside of Yerushalayim on Pesach night. We're going to sing about it at the end of the Seder, if you're up that late, and some of the songs. In the middle of the night, the angel came down that same... Pesach night, we have extra protection, where Hashem protects us from our enemies, and the angel came down and smote the army as they were camped outside the city. So why didn't that miracle lead to the Jewish people rebuilding and lead to the Messiah? The answer was that they didn't sing Shir. They didn't appreciate it enough. They weren't grateful enough. They were happy, but they didn't see, even though it was a righteous king, there's the idea that a person, when something happens, a person has to acknowledge it. They have to be, they have to make sure to say thank you. They have to make sure that they praise Hashem. There are too many times when people go through hard times, and when you have a good time, you have to make sure to celebrate. You have to make sure to thank Hashem. Your cup runneth over. You have to make sure to go to shul and sing those songs of praise. And the same way, when we need something, we ask Hashem, help us, you know, and we don't let him go, right? We pray to him, we need this. Then when he gives it to us, you know, sometimes when a person isn't healthy, they daven every day, they ask Hashem, you know, help me feel better, I need this, you know. And then they feel better. Do they remember every day to thank Hashem that they feel okay today? That they got up, that their feet worked, that their body worked? Right? So that's one of the things we have to work on, which is when something happens, to appreciate it, to acknowledge it, to be aware of it. And so when the Mashiach comes, the Jewish people will sing a song. They will acknowledge it. Now, this doesn't mean this is a song is a form of prayer. In fact, the Levium specialized in that. That was what the Levites did, is that they sang. So some people think it was like, you know, a song. Jewish song is always inspirational. In fact, if you look like to Jewish music today, all of the words are always inspirational. They're always verses from the Tanakh, or they're always prayers, or they're always, because we view music as a way of connecting to the divine. There's an interesting thing when we believe when a person sees beauty, that a part of them feels Hashem's presence. They're like, takes their breath away. There's a feeling when you go to like the Grand Canyon, or you look out in the ocean, or you go to Niagara Falls. So you look at the beauty of these places, but also you feel a sense of the divine. A person can sense, you know, that there's something beyond something magnificent about the world that a person is in. And that feeling, a person has to acknowledge and develop. So on that day, there will be an amazing song. And he says it will take place in Eretz Yehuda. So they wonder why it says Eretz Yehuda. So it is true that there's a debate, you know, the 10 tribes went lost. Are they going to come back? Or is it going to be mostly the land of Yehuda? Today, by the way, that there's, you know, Israel, we don't have all of Eretz Israel. We don't have, you know, all the way up to Lebanon and all the way to through the Jordan, and basically we have Yehuda, and we're going to give most of that back if we're not careful, right? That's what they want to give back, you know, Judea and Samaria. The occupied territory, Judea, the Jewish people living in Judea, that's the occupied territory. But it's interesting that it says, we'll sing the song in the land of Yehuda. Ir Oz London. Now, when we come back to the land of Israel, there will be other countries that seem to be more protected. They'll have walls, and they'll have things that protect them. We are not going to feel a need for that. In other words, we'll sing the song. We'll say, "Ir Oz Lanu." Our city is our strength. We don't. In other words, our strength is Hashem. We don't have to worry about defenses and walls. Yeshua, Yashis Chaimus Echel, Hashem, He's the one who defends us. He's the one who builds our protection. Verse 2, referring to the gates of Yerushalayim, Pisku Sharim. Now that the enemies of the Jewish people are defeated, we look forward to an ingathering. We look forward to the time of our promises when Jews can come back to the land of Israel in peace and security. So we ask that the gates of Yerushalayim should open up. V'yavo goy tzadik. And let the righteous people come back, the righteous people, the Jews that have hoped to come back to the land of Israel through all the centuries. And these people are Shomer Amunim. These are people that guard the faith. We have a concept of Amunah, that we have faith. And every year at the Seder we say, next year in Jerusalem. And they often talk about it. It's very moving if you ever read Natan Sharansky, who was one of the refuseniks, mm-hmm. who was in the Soviet labor camps, and at his trial, when they sentenced him, at first I think they sentenced him to death, and then they commuted it. So he said, "Next year in Jerusalem." That was like that. But that takes faith, you know, like a person who's Here he has this big empire that's trying to, doesn't want him to express himself as a Jew. And this year in Siberia, next year in Yerushalayim, you know, that's a fate that we have. Every year we say that and we feel that. And so the time will come when the gates open to the Shomer Amunim and the people that keep the faith. Sometimes things, people's faith is shaken. You know, things happen. You have to guard your faith. If you're not careful, you can let go. Some people, they give it up. They lose faith. It's interesting how we express it, like you lose it. Where'd you lose it? Right? You know, that you got to guard it that you don't lose it. So it's something that some people have the custom, they actually say what they call the animamim, the faith, you know, the person, if they focus on that, the thing to do is to have faith when it's easy, so that when a person is tested, it comes naturally. But if a person doesn't really think about these things and then they're shaken, then they could lose it. One of the things about earlier generations, or that you find sometimes with people that were Holocaust survivors or the previous generation, they had very strong faith. It's very interesting. You speak to them. I often would, I felt encouraged by that. I'm a rabbi and I study Torah and I do all those things. But I sometimes wonder if I have the same faith as some of these people that lived through incredible things in their lifetimes and they saw tremendous challenges and they have a very strong faith. It was like, to them, it was so clear. It wasn't cloudy. Whereas with us, I feel like we're just afraid to speak about Hashem. Part of it is there's a lot of nuts out there. There are a lot of people that are, in the 60s, the people on drugs took over the faith. You know, they're seeing visions in there. And then you have all the crazy religions. And so if a person wants to be a person that's well-grounded and just a good Jew, if you talk too much about God, it's like a dirty word. Like people were wondering, what's going on with this person, right? So you have to, but on the other hand, we have to be people of faith. We have to talk about Hashem. You have to find a happy medium. My Rebbe always used to say that, he says over a story that there was a famous rabbi that they once caught him on the roof dancing. And he said, "Rabbi, what are you doing on the roof?" He said, I studied some Torah, and it was so sweet, I just had to dance. I was so happy that there was a certain dilemma that I had for years. I worked over it, and I didn't understand it, and I got the answer. And when you find an answer to Torah, it's like so special that you have to dance. So he said, "Well, why'd you go up to the roof?" He said, "I don't want people to think I'm a Meshuggah." Like that. So you have to know how to be spiritual, but it's not considered valuable to have people look at you strange. You know, to people to think, this person is. So that's the challenge we have. We live in, we have to find a way to increase our faith and think of Hashem, and yet at the other hand, not be well grounded or not be someone who somebody's, sometimes people go overboard and they think Hashem talks to them and they see visions and they just become spacey. They're just not very hard to, they're good people. Don't get me wrong, there are spiritual people that are not, but I'm just saying, if we're not that way, we still have to work on faith, but we do it in a quiet way. We in our own quiet, the previous generations, like I said, they knew, they had the faith. They didn't have to carry a sign. They didn't have to do anything with Shogun. You talk to them, and they had faith. Now, that's the simple meaning of the text. There's an interesting Gemara over here. Before I get to that, the word Shamar, we said, is guard the faith. In Breishis, it says that when Yosef had a dream, it says his father, Shamar es hadavar, his father waited, like he thought, one day I hope this dream will come true. My son Yosef, I'll bet he could be king one day. And so he like filed it away. So when he heard Yosef's dream, and the other brothers saw that, they got jealous because, he was saying, one day everybody's going to bow down to me, the sun and the moon and the stars and everyone, all the other tribes. And so it says the father, it says Shamar es hadavar, and it means like the word Shamar usually means to guard. But Rashi over there says it means like he filed it away. He put it in the back of his mind. you know, hopefully I'll live to see this. So here also, the word Shomer Amunim doesn't mean to guard the faith, means like a person keeps it. He files it away. He puts it somewhere. But the Gemara, there's an interesting drush in the Gemara. The word faith is spelled funny. It's sometimes spelled differently. And it understands the word Amunim from the word Amen. And we, part of our prayers, we affirm our faith by saying Amen. And the Gemara goes on the concept that if a person says Amen faithfully, you know, regularly, and when he says his prayers, he has in mind what he's saying Amen, so then he will merit the Messianic times. In other words, that there is a mitzvah to say Amen. And sometimes people say a blessing and they mumble it. They mumble it real quick and no one hears it. And they're kind of cheating everybody, because if you say a blessing out loud, then everybody has a chance to say Amen. And so that's this idea. Instead of Shomer Amunim, it's Shomer Amenim. You know, somebody that guards the Amen. Yetzer Samach, Titzur. The people would rely on the Creator. The people that in life that always look to Hashem. Shalom, shalom. There'll be peace with them. Ki b'chabatua, because they had faith. And it lets us know, by the way, before the Mashiach comes, the big problem will be there won't be shalom. There's a lack of peace. And that's something that we hope for, that the peace will come. Verse 4. Bitku b'Hashem adayad. They always trusted in Hashem. Hashem, no matter what happens, always have faith in Hashem. Have bitachon, have faith. Ki b'cha Hashem sura olamim. Because Hashem is the rock of eternity. We talked about this in ancient times. If you had a large rock, there was no way to move it. And so you could have a landmark, because if there was this big rock, you could come back 30 years from now and that rock would still be there. In fact, there was an insurance company that would say, get a piece of the rock. Remember that? Mm-hmm. The idea with a rock is that, you know, a large thing is that you knew that nothing was going to happen. There was just we didn't have any way of moving it. It's like Stone Mountain. You know, you come back, it's going to be there. It's not going to go anywhere. So Hashem is that way. Hashem is the rock. Life, things change. People change. Places change. But Hashem is always there. He's the rock. And he's the rock of all worlds. So one idea is that, you know, from the beginning of creation to the end of creation, that's the word, like the rock of all times, rock of ages. He's the rock of eternity. Verse 5. Ki heshach yoshvei morim. There were a lot of arrogant people, a lot of people that were bragging, a lot of people that were anti-Semites. Hashem humbles, is going to humble them. They're going to have to eat humble pie at the end of time. Ki niskava, those... So Kirya Niskava Yeshbiana, those high pollutant, high places, he's going to lower. Yeshblena Ada Oretz, he's going to knock them down to the ground. Yagina Ada Ofer, to the dust. In other words, the high, arrogant people that look down at others, they're going to be eating the dust, so to speak. Verse 6. Timisenu Rego Ragle Ani Pamani, and they're going to be stepped on by who? The feet of the poor. The poor are the ones who other people always took advantage of. The Pame Dalin, there's the idea that Hashem will make it up to the people that are poor who don't have. They're the ones that that they need to be taken care of. They will be addressed. Orkla Tzadiki Meisharim. Righteous people, their way is straight. It's not crooked, it's not dishonest, it's straight. Yashar. Ma'ugul Tzadik Tefalis. And everything that a righteous person does, he weighs. There's the idea that when you take action, you have to think about the repercussions of the action. What the righteous person thinks, when you do something, it affects other people. So you've got to think about it. If you're doing something here, how's it going to affect other people? So the way of the righteous is they weigh things. They put it on a scale. They think, well, if I do this, what will it benefit people? Will it be a good reaction? Will it be a bad reaction? 8. Af orach mishpatecha Hashem. Now, usually nobody wants judgment. Nobody wants to be... Judgment isn't always is a scary thing. Maybe we won't be worthy of judgment. So here it says, though, for Hashem's judgment, that we want. Because we... Af orach mishpatecha Hashem kivinu, we hope for it. because we live in a life where there is injustice. So to have Hashem's justice, that we hope for. The Shimkul is Zikrecha Tavas Nafshi. I desire it. I can't wait to have a real, honest, and righteous judge. Verse 9. Nafshi, and also that people, the wicked, be punished and the righteous get what is coming to them. Nafshi Evisika Belaila. I long for you at night. Night is a great time to pray. When a person's in bed, and especially when they have trouble going to sleep, that's the perfect time. Who are you talking to when you're thinking in your thoughts? There's the idea that you think to Hashem. That, in other words, when a person is in bed at night or when it's dark, they're not distracted by other people during the day. That's the time to think of Hashem. So he says, Nashi v'sicha b'layla. He said, at night, that's when I long for you. Night also can be times of darkness, times of trouble. That's when a person, you know, looks for Hashem. Afruchi b'kirbi eshechrecha. And deep down inside me, there's something inside me that's trying to greet Hashem. Ki kashem mishpatecha la'aretz tzedek lamdu yoshri sevo. And Hashem's justice will be taught to the whole world, to the inhabitants of the world. Yoshvei Tevel are like the this one just called the inhabitants of the world, those that dwell down here. Tevel is like think of like far off places. Today in the far off places, how are they going to know about Hashem? One of the things that's a good thing is that we live in an age where there's instant communication, and so when Hashem is ready to allow himself to be revealed to the world, when that time in history comes, it can happen very quickly. Like in other times, the word had to go by mouth, and so it could take years to get the message to India, to Africa, to in fact, people used to hear rumors, you know, the Mashiach has come, you know, and it's some far off land, you know, and the Shapsai Svi, and people heard he came, did he come? They would send people to check it out, because the communication wasn't, they heard all kinds of things. And so today we'll know when Hashem is ready, when things happen. Verse 10, Yuchan Rasha, and when that time comes, don't think the wicked are going to have a front row seat. They are not going to find favor in Hashem. Having the right attributes, being the right kind of person, you always win out. You know, in America, everybody says, nice guys finish last. It's not that way. A nice guy, when Mashiach comes, don't think that the people who aren't the nice guys are going to be find favor in Hashem. Ba'alam and Tzedek, they didn't learn righteousness. Beretz Nechokos. Yavo, they were crooked people. Ba'al Yira Geus Hashem, they are not going to get any front row seats. Those crooked people, those corrupt people, the people that didn't practice the right traits before the Mashiach came, when Mashiach comes, they are not going to experience it. They're not going to be there. They're not going to... verse 11, Hashem Rama Yadka. Hashem will lift up his hand, Bao Yexu, that these people won't see. Yexu v'yevoshu. They won't really... they won't see, and they'll see, and they'll be embarrassed. Kinnis am af esh serecha tochlim. They'll have a jealousy that will devour them. Interesting expression of what will happen to the world or to the anti-Semites. Verse 12, Hashem tishbo shalom lanu. But to us, Hashem, give us lots of peace. Help us get along with one another. Ki gam kol maseinu palto lanu. All of our deeds, you'll pay us back for the good deeds. Maybe it means that we've suffered for our bad deeds. Now it's time to bring peace because I think that's what it means. We've suffered. We've had enough, the exile, and we've had enough of punishment for our sins. Now you can bring us peace. It's interesting. The word for peace is like to pour or to prepare. Like it's going to become, it'll come, it'll flow out. Verse 13, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, who's our God. Boleinu Adon, he's our master. There's no other master besides you. Bacha Natke Shemecha, we mention your name. Now, that's the first step of the final, of what will happen at the end of time. There'll be this peace, and there'll be the revelation of Hashem. There's another step that it's not clear if it'll happen right away or it'll happen later. And that's what's called Chiyas Tamesim, the revival of the dead. There's an idea that there'll be a point in history where we'll be reunited with our loved ones, with people that have passed on different times. We believe that people that are good are eternal, that there's a divine spark in a person, and even though a person's body grows old, there's a part of a person that's part of Hashem that doesn't, it's always going to be there. And so there's an idea that there'll be some existence where people are reunited, and that's called Tchiyas HaMeisim. Now, not everybody gets that existence. Some people, they blocked the spark of the divine inside them, and there's nothing to come back to life. They never lived. People that were good people and righteous people, they will come back to life. And there'll be some stage, some time in history. The part of the challenge is we haven't experienced it yet, and we don't know the order of things, and there's different segments. In other words, there's an idea that a person, after they die, there's a certain judgment, and there's a certain place under the divine throne where the souls are united in. And then there's the down in this world, and then there's the messianic times, and then there's a time called Tchiyas HaMeisim, when the dead will come back. So here he says, Mesim ba'yechiyu refoyim ba'yekumu. The dead will not live, and the slackers will not rise. Not everybody's going to get up. The wicked are going to be wiped out, and there'll be, that's it. V'tavid kozicha, there'll be nothing to remember them by. Yisafte l'goy Hashem, yisafte l'goy nikvadetik. You've added to the Jewish people. We're going to get lots of converts, different people that will add on, that will join us. And Hashem has added to us, and Hashem will give us more. There's an idea that the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael will be extended. But it's part of the reason the Arabs and the neighbors don't like us much is because in the prophecies it talks about us having the land all the way to the Euphrates and the much of Lebanon and Syria and Jordan is predicted eventually will be ours. And they're aware of that. And so even though we believe that we're not instructed to take it now, the idea that the Jewish people will eventually have a larger Eretz Yisrael, that motivates some of them in their hatred and their desire. But here we say Hashem, he'll add on. Whereas the people that who are bad, they've been rejected. Verse 16. Hashem b'tzar p'keduka. Hashem, you remembered us when things were tough. Sachon lachash masilamo. When we dive into you, then you heard us. Kamo horat tachris aledeth. We came close. We were like a woman who was giving birth. And it's a very interesting analogy. And that is when women give birth, they experience extreme agony before they give birth. And then after the agony comes the joy. It comes the birth. And so he describes the Jewish people were like a woman who's about ready to give birth. Tukul titsa, we start screaming, we start crying, we feel the birth pangs. Kain hayinu efna, that's the way we are. Like, we're going through the birth pangs, but we're waiting for the new life to be born. Harinu chalinu kamo yodenu. We conceived, we tried to give birth, and we didn't get there. We need you, Hashem. We need we gave birth to the wind, like false labor. Yeshua's banas of eretz, and nothing happened. About yiful yoshvei sevel. It was on our own. We were unable to bring the Mashiach. We had many different tries throughout history for people, different movements, the people to perfect themselves, to work their way through it. Verse 19. Yikum meisecha. Those that have died, they should come to life. Neveta yikumu, the people, their bodies will rise. Hakitsu, wake up for Rananu and sing happy songs. Shokna, for those that are lying in the dust. Kital oris telecha, because Hashem has like a magic dew that's going to wake them up. Eretz refoim tapil. But those are the good people, and then those that don't deserve, they'll be, in other words, the dead will rise up and the wicked will be pushed away. It's interesting, he calls them slackers. He likes that word. I don't know, at least my translation, I'm not sure of the word slackers or those that are not. There's always going to be good and bad. There are going to be worthwhile people and non-worthwhile people. I'm at the end of verse 19. trying to see if there's it's just a funny word, slackers.
They use that very often.
The Hebrew word refoyim are people that were weak or not strong enough, weak-minded people. There are a lot of people, you know, that know what's right and good, but they're just not strong enough to do anything about it. They just allow the other people, the wicked, to... I think that's why he uses the word slackers. They're weak. They're not strong enough. That over there, I think it is. That over here, the commentary, I understand this as the word from weak. People that are weak or lazy, slackers. That's the way they... Mm-hmm. It's different than that. That's true. I don't know why it... You have to see why over there. I don't think they interpret it that way over there. It was the name of a people where the Rephoim over there.
And then Rephoim has to do with healing and strengthening.
Right,
the
right.
Opposite. It's the same root has opposite meaning.
Right, well, Hebrew is that way depending on how you use it. It can mean to strengthen or to let go depending on the nuance of the how it's vowelled. In other words, the same word to heal can also mean to let go of healing. Okay. Now, here's an interesting thing. In Israel, this became very popular during the Gulf War when Saddam Hussein sent Scuds to Israel. And they had to go into rooms. People were advised to go in their rooms and tape shut the windows. Seal their windows, sealed rooms. That was the advice that was given. So the people, you know, in Israel, they know the Tanakh very well, because if you live in Israel, the Tanakh is such a living book. It describes our land and our people, and they came back and they're living the miracle. So when they were told by the scientists to go in these rooms, so they looked at this verse in Isaiah and said, "Oh, Mashiach's on his way." Because that's what it says. He says, "Lechami bolecha, my people, they got to go into the rooms and seal the doors. V'sagadu osecha badecha, kamat rega. Just wait for the anger to pass." That's what they were told to do: is go in the room and wait for the OK sign. And so they kind of saw that in these words about going in the rooms. This implies that during these final battles, there'll be moments where we have to like go in our rooms and close and just have a little patience and wait for the anger to pass by. Verse 21, Kinei Hashem Yotzi Mimkomo. Don't worry, Hashem's going to come to the rescue. He's going to come out of his place. Lifkad Avon Yoshvei Ha'aretz. And he's going to punish the dwellers of the land. Who are the dwellers? We got plenty of those dwellers of the land, the Palestinians. The Gilsa Ha'aretz is Dameha. And one of the problems has been is that the people were punished and they covered the blood, so to speak, meaning that the murders and the acts of cruelty and terrorism that they did, there was a cover up. Nobody talked about it. Nobody brought them to trial. Nobody punished the people. That in other words, the blood was covered, so to say. It was as if they didn't commit any crimes. So when Hashem's presence comes, the blood will be revealed. In other words, the crimes will become known. And there won't be people who are guilty of murder and of all kinds of things. There'll be an accounting. And so that's also part of the Messianic times, that people that have done these crimes that were hidden, they'll no longer be covered. And so that's the message, and it's certainly a message for Pesach, which is the month of redemption, and that hopefully we'll experience these things in our times.
Amen. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. He does not make money off the site, but he does need money in order to run the site. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.